We're holding on page 142 in Rosh Hashanah, or in yours it may be labeled 122, whatever the page opposite Ayin Beis, about five lines from the bottom, middle of your Gimel. It'll be opposite page Ayin Beis, yeah. So the last thing we were learning about was that we said that even after the Gzau Din has been written then and sealed, then a person can still do tshuva and it'll be ripped up. And then we discussed, on the other hand, there's a braisa that seems to be saying that no, and the answer is, the Gemara had said, there's a difference between the yochid and the tzibur. So the tzibur's Gzau Din can be ripped up even afterwards. The yochids, once it was sealed, then not. And even the tzibur's, as we learned yesterday, not always will Hashem rip it up. He'll try to work within that Gzau Din, and only if that's not possible will he actually rip it up. So the Gemara continues, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof about what happens after the Gzau Din. We have in Kapitel Kuf Zayin, when it describes the Abot Tzrichim Lahoidus, the four people in dangerous situations who, when they get out of it, they thank Hashem, Yodel Hashem Chastel. The Pasuk describes the fourth kind that travel on the sea, Yodah Hayom Ba'anias, the ones who go down into the water in ships, Oisim Melocha B'mayim Rabim, who do work in great waters, Hemaro Masi Hashem, they saw the deeds of Hashem, V'nifla Oisim, and his wonders B'mitzula in the depths, by Yomer, and then Hashem says, by Hashem speaks, by Yamed Ruach Sa'ar of a Gomer, and all of a sudden a storm wind blows up for Gomer, Yal Shemayim Yodus Ahomis for Gomer, they're going up and down, the ship is tossing to and fro, they're being thrown up and down, Yechoigo Yanu Kashikar, they stagger and they reel around, they're staggering and then falling like a drunk person, by Yitzakul Hashem Batzalahem, and they cry out to Hashem in their trouble for Gomer, and Hashem saves them and calms the storm down, Yodel Hashem Chaskim and the Flois of Ben Adam, and they praise Hashem, they thank Hashem for his chesed and for his wonders to people. Page one, you have it labeled by yours as page 122 in Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, it's opposite page Ayin Beis. The numbering is a little bit messed up. Yeah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lahen simonios. Now in that capital, before several of these psukim, you have markings there, ach and rak and shabbat Torah. Like in some places, the Torah says ach and rak, and it means a mute. The same way over here, you have backwards nuns before several of these psukim. Now we're familiar with, you have the backwards nuns in Parshas Baalos, before and after Vayihi and Soya. Here also, before several of these psukim in that capital, you have backwards nuns. We don't find them. We don't find them in the Tilum Oyel Yosef Yitzchak. They didn't print them in there, but you look in the Makros Kedolos, you'll see them. You look in the Tilum Yael Ur, you'll see them, and then you'll have some other editions of Tilum where you'll find them. Whatever, they're there. There's seven of those backwards nuns in that capital, and most of them are before the psukim that the Gemara is going to quote, that the Gemara has just quoted. So loy maloch, and the nun is meant like an ach or a rak. It's meant to be an exception. It's meant to be like only or but. There's an exception. So meaning loy maloch, it comes to tell you tsaku kodim gmar din. If they cry out before the kodim gzar din, before the Eibush says gzar din, nenu, then they'll be listened to, and Hashem will calm down the storm and save them. La'ach of gzar din. But if they're only crying out to Hashem after the gzar din, loy nenu, then they may not be answered. So we see now on the face of it, you have a lot of people on a ship. They should be considered like a tzibur. And we said a tzibur, even after Gzar Din has been made, can still be ripped up. And the answer is no. Hanach nami ki yichidim damu. No, these people who are on the ship may be considered like yichidim. The idea being, in what sense are they like yichidim? So the Ritva says because they come from different families. He doesn't elaborate what that means, but it may mean in other words, on a ship when it's in danger, people tend to look out for themselves. You don't always have that people cooperate with one another as much as they do. What? So they may be all literally in the same boat, but they don't necessarily show much of a sense of achdus. And Maharsha points out, in fact, that. So what about the other three groups that I mentioned in that kapitel? What about the ones who go in the desert and the cholim and the ones who are in jail? So he says maybe in fact those are more considered like a rabbi. The Maharsha doesn't elaborate in what sense they're more like a rabbi, but maybe you could say, because with those three things, people do tend to stick together. When there are cholim, for example, people tend to look out for one another, because it's an epidemic that's spreading or whatever, and therefore they're going to try to take care of each other and prevent it from spreading. And the same way with the prisoners, and the same way with the Hochamid Boreas, where they go together in a caravan. Whereas over here we're saying with the ship, maybe every person figures it's every person for themselves. Okay, so therefore, so again, so that's Yechidim. So there's no proof that by a tzibur the gzar din can't be ripped up. Because here we're talking about they're considered like Yechidim. Okay, Toshma, the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof. Shala Bluya Hagiyoris as Rebbe Gamliel. Bluya, that was her name, she was a Giyoris. She asked Rebbe Gamliel, Kosov Viseraska, and she says, it says in your Torah. Now it's interesting that she used the expression your Torah, if she herself is a Giyoris, it's now her Torah as well. In fact, Yad Yosef over here mentioned that when the Sefer She'iltis, from Rabbi Choli Goin, one of the early Goinim, when it quotes the Gemara, he leaves out the word Viseraska. So his Girsa didn't have that, so therefore she's just saying, Kosov, it says in the Pasuk. If we have the Girsa Viseraska, then it may mean that she was asking it before she had actually finished her process of Giyoris. Anyway. Maybe she just continued to use her name, her name Bluria as a Jewish name. Maybe for all we know, maybe Bluria is a Jewish name also. I mean, Bruria is a Jewish name. It's similar enough. Maybe. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same way, you know, for example, we still call Unculus by his Roman name, even after he was a Ger, right? So maybe it wasn't necessarily such a given back then that people took themselves a new name when they were Misgaya. I guess you could say, I mean, it probably depended. If their name included a name of Avodah Zarah or something, then they'd probably have reason to change it. But if it's just an innocuous Goyish name, they may not have bothered. Anyway, so she asks, it says in the Torah, Asher lo yisaponim v'lo yikach shoychad. Hashem will not lift up a face and will not take shoychad. Now, the word lifting a face in Tanakh a lot of times means to show favoritism. But she's understanding it more. So the Poshik chapter of the Poshik means that Hashem doesn't show favoritism to anybody. But she's understanding it in the sense of to lift up your face to somebody also means to show them a friendly face, so to speak. So Hashem lo yisaponim, it sounds like it's saying Hashem does not show a friendly face to anybody. But then you have another pasuk, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, Hashem will lift up his face to you, V'yosim L'cha Shalom, and he'll give you peace. So what is it? Does Hashem lift up his face to us and show us, so to speak, a smiling, happy face, or does he not? Now again, Tosfos says, look, on a pshat level, it's not really a question. Asher lo yis upon him means that Hashem doesn't show anybody favoritism. And then Tosfos describes, now there are psukim that imply that Hashem did show favor to certain people by Yisa Hashem's Pnei Iyov, Ki Imponav Esa, but that's different because he was a tzaddik. Tosfos discusses this also in Nida. This point is brought also that the Jews of Alexandria asked this question to Rabbi Yeshua, and their Tosfos is also bothered by the point, why doesn't you just answer them that it means Nisias Ponim of a person, and Marsha discusses it over there. Anyway. But at least in the way that she's understanding the pasuk, and apparently the way that Anshei Alexandria understood the pasuk as well, it's possible to understand Asher lo yisaponimus, meaning that Hashem will not show a friendly face, but on the other hand, Yisa Hashem ponim elecha means that he will. Nitpol lo Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. So Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen went to join her, meaning to talk with her. Why particularly he? Then if she asked the question to Rebbe Gamliel, why didn't Rebbe Gamliel answer? Then Yehoyada says, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. What? Yeah, he says, because this pasuk, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, is in Birkas Koyanim, so therefore, particularly Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen had a particular interest in answering it. Anyway, Amala Em Shalach Moshal Ma'ad Davidoyim, he tells you, I'll give you a moshal what it's like. La'odim Shanoshe B'chaveri Mone. You have a person who's owed a money, 100 zuz, by another person. So he, in the presence of the king, he arranged a time by which the loan is going to be paid back. And the loiver, the one who owes the money, swore by the life of the king that he will pay in time. Time comes and he doesn't pay. Bolifias is a melech. So he comes to ask mechila from the king. I swore in your name, and it turns out it was a false swore. So the king tells him, Alboni Mochaloch, as far as the insult to me, I feel that you swore falsely in my name, I forgive you. Leichu Pius is Chabercha, but go appease your friend, go either pay him or arrange with him new terms or something. Af Hochanami, the same way, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen tells her, Kan Ba'averus Shemin Anum Chaberai, Kan Ben Ba'averus Shemin Anum Mokin. there's a difference. When it comes to Averus from an Adam L'Chaveiro, that's when we're saying that Hashem lo yisaponim. Hashem will not show a friendly face for that. Meaning, in other words, that Hashem is going to say, fine, the fact that there's a Ben Adam L'Mokim component in it, to that all, it's a mitzvah of Hashem, fine, I can overlook that, but I can't overlook what you did to the other person, as we learned in Yoma, Ad Sheyudatze Es Chaveiroi, so therefore that's lo yisaponim. On the other hand, the yisa Hashem ponim elecha is by an Aveir Hashem Adam L'Mokim. So that Hashem can fully forgive. And in that case, actually, Maharsha points out, so now, actually, we have what Tosfos pointed out, that on pshat level, the Pasuk is referring to showing favoritism to a person, so actually this would work with Rabbi Yossi HaKohen's explanation as well. When it comes to a person did an Aveda Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, then Hashem won't show him any favoritism. Hashem will say, I can't be Motel you because you weren't Meratze Es Chaveiro. On the other hand, by an Aveda Ben Adam L'Mokim, then Hashem can show him favor and say, you know what, I'm willing to give you a break and give you a chance to do tshuva and whatever. So that was the first explanation. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva v'limid, until later on Rabbi Akiva came and taught. No, the difference is not so much Averus ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Averus ben Adam L'Mokim, but rather kan kodim gzadin, kan ma'achal gzadin. It depends before and after the gzadin. So therefore, after the gzadin, then Hashem will not. Then Hashem will so to speak hide his face and then lo yisaponim. So then Hashem will not show a favorable face to a person at a time like that. So then it's not talking about Ben Adam L'Mokim versus Ben Adam L'Chaveiro anymore, right? So Maharsha explains that that's the vote. Before the Gzau Din, Hashem has not yet hidden his face, so Yisa Hashem upon him. After the Gzau Din, Hashem has hidden his face, so therefore, lo Yisa upon him, Hashem will not show any favor to the person anymore. So here we see, now Rabbi Akiva is not distinguishing between a Gzau Din of a Yochid and a Tzibur, so it sounds like it means that even at Tzibur, Hashem is not going to show any favor to after the Gzau Din. And the answer is, Hochanami be Yochid? No, because you can say we're talking still about a Yochid over here. At Tzibur would be different. The Pasuk Asher Lo Yisaponim is not talking about a Tzibur, it's talking about a Yochid. And in fact, you have the context of the Pesukim over there is more talking to a Yochid, saying that Hashem is, that if you, next Pasuk, Osa Mishpat Yosem Almana, so it's talking more about a Yochid who treats a Yosem and Almana badly, and therefore that's the Asher Lo Yisaponim.
Sorry, when is the Gzau Din? After the Avera, at the end of the day?
So the Gzau Din will be, so we said, for Yochid, generally speaking, the Gzau Din is, the Gzau Din is sealed on Yom Kippur. We said for Bain and the Yom Kippur, and for Tzadikim and Roshoyim even earlier than that in Yom Kippur, we had the opinions before about Odom Nidin B'chol Yoyim or B'chol Shah, so then according to that, the Gzau Din can take place at various times. Tosfos also brings another point as well, that the Gemara in Nida, when it brings these two psukim, it mentions this point as well, and gives the same answer before and after Gzau Din that Rabbi Yeshua gave to the Anshei Alexandria. There is though a Gemara in Brochus that bears on this as well, where the Malachi Ashoris asks the same question to Hashem. How could you say Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha in the Torah when you yourself say Hashem Lo Yisa Panim? And Hashem answers, you know what? The Jewish people deserve it. What? No, not Asher, not Lo Yikachshecha, but Asher Lo Yisaponim. The Pasuk is saying Asher Lo Yisaponim, but here it says Lo Yisa Hashem Ponav Elecha. So the Gemara in Brachas said, the Malachi Ashoris asked that very question to Hashem. And Hashem answers, you know what, the Jewish people deserve it, because here I said, Brachalta B'Savato V'Nachta, and they go L'Fnim B'Shur Sadin, and we bench even over far less food than that. So therefore they deserve to have that Nesias Ponim. So that's a different answer. It's not a matter of Ben Adam L'Mokim, Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi, or before Gzau Din or after Gzau Din. It's more a matter of the Jewish people deserve to have that Nesias Panim because of that. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, the fact is, even that will only be before the Gzau Din. As the Gemara is going to say, as the Gemara has just said over here, after Gzau Din, even that argument that Hein Machmir and Al-Atzman Ad-Kazayis Ad-Kabetza, Hein Medaktik and Al-Atzman Ad-Kazayis Ad-Kabetza, is still not going to work.
When Rabbi says,
But other people they give generously, right? For themselves, they'll bench even if they only ate a kazayis or a kibetz, but to give to somebody else, yeah, they're generous, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara points out, Gzau Din de Yochid Gufe Tanoi. As a matter of fact, though, actually, whether the Gzau Din of a Yochid can be whipped up as a result of his tshuva is actually a machlokes tanoi. Like this, we've been saying all this time that can be Yochid, how the Yochid, how the Tzibur, that a Yochid's Gzau Din cannot be whipped up once it was sealed, but if Tzibur's can, actually, the truth is, the Gemara is saying that actually there are tanoim that hold that even a Gzau Din of a Yochid can also be whipped up. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hoyer of Meyer, Shnaim Sha'ulam Lamit of Acholian Shavah. Suppose you have two people who are both sick in bed with the exact same sickness. The same way, if you have two people who are being taken up to the Gaudrum for judgment. The Gaudrum is the, Rashi describes, is the Goyish courts where they would sentence people to death, where they would try people and pass out death sentences. The word Gaudrum actually comes, it's related to English words like grade and other words like that. It literally means a platform with steps, because that's the kind of thing that judges would sit on. You have like the seats and, like the bleachers, like the bleachers that used to be in 770 and other things like that. You have the judges would sit on various levels over there, so everybody can see what's going on. What? Yeah, like a pyramid, kind of. Yeah. So the place of the judgment was called the Gaudrum. Anyway, so imagine you have two people that are going there to be judged by Goyish courts, the Dinam Shava, and they're both being charged on the exact same. They're both being tried on the exact same charges. Yet Zed Yorad Vzela Yorad Zenitzel Vzela Nitzel. Sometimes you have one comes out of bed safely and recovers, and the other one does not, or the one is saved from being executed by the government and the other one is not. Tackle, what's the difference? The difference is Zeh Spal of Nenev, Zeh Spal of Lainenev. One Davin and Hashem listened to it and Hashem answered his tefillah, and the other one Davin and Hashem did not answer his tefillah. Well, in turn, and with name Mazeh, his spal of Nana, Vizela Nana. So why is that? Why did Hashem make that difference? The difference is Zeshe, his spal of Tfila Shlema Nana, the one who daven a complete Tfila, who put in Pavona into it. The one who put in Pavona into it, Nana, he was answered, Vizeshe, his spal of Tfila Shlema, the one who did not do a complete Tfila with the proper Kavona, Loi Nana was not answered. So according to that Tana, then it comes out that he davened, and that means he did Shuvah as part of his davening as well. So even though the Gzau Din was already, we assume the Gzau Din was already against, was already made against him and sealed in Shemayim, otherwise he wouldn't have been so dangerously sick, or he wouldn't have been brought up on trial and on charges in front of the Goyish government. And nevertheless, we're saying that his tefillah, that is that sincere Shuvah and that sincere tefillah and Shuvah can overturn that. What is the Tanya of today? I have to go with that. The Tanya of today talks about where a person has to fight against the Yetzer Hara and go more than his regular. Oh, also by davening. Okay, yeah, I hear. Okay, fair enough. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar Oyma Kan Kodim Gzaudin Kan Lacha Gzaudin. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says not necessarily. The difference between the two people: one, the Gzaudin was already sealed against him in Shemayim, and the other one not. So it comes out that Rabbi Lazar would be the one, or Rabbi Eliezer would be the one that we were saying before, that the Gzaudin of a Yochid can't be canceled, and only the one of a Tzibur could be. Rabbi Yitzchok Oymer, and Rabbi Yitzchok says Yochah Sa'okal Adam Ben Kodim Gzaudin Ben Lacha Gzaudin. It's always good for a person to cry out to Hashem, whether before the Gzau Din or after the Gzau Din. Either way, it can help. So on the face of it, that means he's disagreeing with Rabbi Lazar. On the other hand, Rabbi Hananel says maybe not really necessarily. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar are clearly disagreeing, because Rabbi Meir is saying that it's possible for the person to daven with Kavana and overturn his Gzau Din, and Rabbi Lazar is saying not, because he's a Yochid. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yitzchok is not saying that the Gzau Din may be completely overturned, but he's saying Yofa, at least it'll help to mitigate it. It'll help to make it that it won't be quite so harsh. So therefore, so he's not necessarily disagreeing either with Rabbi Meir or with Rabbi Lazar, but rather the machlokes would be between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar whether the Gzau Din of a Yochid can be ripped up or not. Tzaka means a person cries out in tefillah and in shuvah to Hashem. So the bottom line is that we have different opinions about the Gzau Din of a Yochid, whether it can be ripped up or not. According to the mayor, yes. According to the Belozer, no. And according to the Yitzchok, depends how you learn his Yofa Tzaka. Does it mean that it can actually cause it to be ripped up? Or does it mean that only Yofa, it helps something, it'll mitigate it, but it's not necessarily going to rip it up completely? Okay. Now, though, we said before that the Gzau Din of a Tzibur can be ripped up. So that's, we said, we have the case of the rain where it's not, because there Hashem will just work within it. But we said other than that, where that's not possible, then the Gzau Din as a whole will be ripped up. So, Gzau Din, the Tzibur, mi mikra. Is it so, though, that the Gzau Din on a Tzibur can be ripped up when they do Tshuva? The Pasuk says, Kabsi Meira Libech Yerushalayim Laman Vegomer. The Navi says to the Jews of Yerushalayim and of Eretz Yisrael in general, wash your heart out of evil, Yerushalayim, and then in order that you'll be saved. In order that you'll be saved from the Gzardin, Uchtiv. But then you have another pasuk also in Yirmiyah, where Hashem says, no, Kim Sechabsi Ban Neser, even if you're going to cleanse yourself with Neser, is a type of earth that they used in those days for cleansing. It's some kind of compound of sodium and whatever else they some kind of natural mineral that's used for cleaning. What?
Chemar.
Chemar is what is clay. So Neser, I mean, we find Neser it is, we're saying over here. No, we have, it's mentioned, for example, it's mentioned in some places they make kalem out of it sometimes. They use it for washing and cleansing things, whatever. It's some kind of natural mineral. Niter, it's called in English. The word nitrogen comes from that because it contains nitrogen, whatever. Anyway. So it's used, you know, nowadays, you know, to put it in modern terms, he's saying, even if you were to cleanse yourself with the best detergent, let's say, the Sarbilach Burdis, even if you put a lot of Burdis, which is soap, nevertheless, the Pasuk is saying your Aveda is still a stain. So, first the Pasuk is, so you have one Pasuk saying that they should cleanse themselves in order that they'll be saved, and now you have another Pasuk that's saying it's too late. Even if you cleanse yourself thoroughly, then you still, your Aveda is still a stain before me. This Gemara is also brought in Yevamos. Marashah makes an interesting point over there. The word bodis in the Pasuk is written without the Vav. So it's written Beis Resh Yud Saf, which means that we can also read it as if it said bris, as in the bris of the Torah. So therefore, the second Pasuk is saying, even if you do lots of mice and tovin, and you learn lots of Torah, nevertheless, your Averis are so serious that there's still going to be a stain left of them. So, and he was talking to the Sibur, my love can't code in Gzardin, can ma'acha Gzardin. So shouldn't we assume the one Pasuk is talking about before the Gzardin, there they can do tshuva and wash and cleanse themselves and Hashem will fully forgive them. And the second one is talking about after the Gzardin, it's too late for that. So no matter how much Torah and mitzvahs they do, they're still going to get punished. So the point of telling them is, he's telling them, you have to realize, so he's telling them maybe you have to do like a higher level of tshuva. You have, for example, you know, the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya from the Zohar, he says that there are certain averus over there where tshuva is not enough. And the Alter Rebbe explains, it means tshuva tata is not enough, you need tshuva ilah, you need tshuva me'ava. So, we do what? Yeah, we're saying kapitul nanalaf, yeah. But here it sounds like in one, Yeah, we're asking that Hashem should cleanse us of our avodas, yeah. But here we sound like in the second pasuk, which is actually earlier in Sefer Yirmiyah, it sounds like he's saying no matter how much washing and cleansing you do, it's not going to be enough. So it sounds like he's telling them it's after the Gzardin, and therefore it's too late. The answer is loy, no. Idi va'idi la'achav Gzardin. Both psukim are talking about after the Gzardin. V'leitasha, kan v'Gzardin sheyeshima shvua, kan v'Gzardin she'enima shvua. It depends whether the Gzardin is accompanied by shvua. If it's accompanied that Hashem swore to do this, then we're saying that a Gzardin of a tzibur is not going to be ripped up. So that's the second pasuk that the Kim Tachabsi Ban Neser is Yirmiyah is warning them, here there's a Gzardin sheyeshima shvua. So therefore, it's not going to be ripped up. If you want to overturn it, you're going to have to do a much higher level of tshuva. As opposed to the other one, they can cleanse their hearts of evil and do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive them. So whatever the Avedis they did in the years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, Avodah Zarah, Gilad Eis, Shefachas Damim. Anyway, so Kiddush of Shmuel Ba'Ami. And that distinction, whether the Gzardin has a Shvur with it or not, is like what Rav Shmuel Ba'ami said. The Omer of Shmuel Ba'ami, Ba'ami la'Omer of Shmuel Ba'nachmeni, Omer of Yochanan, or of Yonason, Minayim the Gzardin sheyeshim a Shvur she'enim eskerei. How do we know that a Gzardin that has a Shvur with it, cannot be ripped up? Shenemar, We find by Bnei Eli. Now we know we have the psukim over there in Sefer Shmuel that describe what the Bnei Eli, Chofni, and Pinchas were doing. They were being mevaza the korbanos. They were doing various other things, and therefore Hashem sent Nevi'im to warn. First, Hashem sent a Navi who was unnamed in the pasuk, although Rashi brings from the Medrash that it was Arkanah, Shmuel's father. After that, Shmuel had his first nevuah, which supplemented it. Anyway, the nevuah is the base Eli that they're going to be severely punished, and the pasuk says V'lachemish Baiti Leveis Eli. Hashem says, therefore, I've sworn regarding the family of Eli, and they're considered a tzibur because it's a whole family. Im yiskaper avon beis Eli v'zevachu mincha v'gomer. If, meaning it will not be that the avera of beis Eli will be forgiven through korbanos, through zevachu mincha. And in a way, Marshall mentions this in Yevamos, and other Mephoshim explain as well. It's kind of on the grounds of in kateger nasa saneger. Their averus involved the korbanos, involving treating the korbanos disrespectfully. Therefore, they can't bring korbanos. Korbanos are accompanied by tshuva. You don't bring a korban chatas or osham without doing tshuva. Nevertheless, Hashem is saying that in kateger nasa saneger, korbanos are not going to cleanse their aver. So we see, therefore. So the psukim described over there in Sefer Shmuel, we've talked about it here and there in the Shir. The Gemara mentioned it in Shabbos, so we learned it last year sometime. I think we talked about it more recently as well. There are two things. The pasuk mentions that they were treating the korbanos very disrespectfully. They were demanding and taking portions of the korbanos even before the chalav is offered on the mizbeach, which they're not allowed to do. And they were telling people, you have to give us whatever we want, much more than the chaz of a shoyt or whatever that they're entitled to. So they're acting as though the korbanos are just there in order to fill their stomach, rather than primarily to honor the Eibishter. Second of all, the pasuk also mentions Asher Yishkevunas Anoshim Atzoves, that they lay together with the women who come there to the Oyel Moed, where the Gemara explains there in Shabbos that it doesn't mean they literally were mezana with them, it means that they delayed bringing their korbanos and caused, therefore, that the women have to stay there overnight, and that way they interfered with this way the women are not able to go home and be with their husbands and so on and so forth. So on their level, it was considered a serious aveira, tantamount to being mezana with them. Anyway, whatever, you have the psukim there. So first you have the psukim described over there, how when Eli finds out about it, he tells them off, but not strongly enough. And then you have an Isha Elikim comes to Eli, where again Rashi says on the pasuk, bringing I think from Seder Olam, that it was Arkana, Shmuel's father, and gives him a whole harsh nevuah about what's going to happen to Eli's family. Then you have after that the psukim describe how Shmuel has his very first nevuah. He's lying there one night, and he starts hearing a voice calling to him, Shmuel, Shmuel, and he thinks that it's Eli, and three times he runs to see what Eli wants from him, and each time Eli tells him, I didn't call for you, and finally Eli realizes that it must be he's getting his first nevuah, and he tells him, you should tell, say, Dabar Hashem Kishamei Abdecha, and sure enough, Hashem gives Shmuel his first nevuah, and it supplements the previous nevuah that of how Eli's family is going to be punished. So anyway, so you have this pasuk. The last pasuk in that first nevuah of Shmuel is that Devochen Yishbaiti Leveis Eli. So we see, in other words, says Rav Shmuel Bar Ami or Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that when there's a shvuah involved, Lachen Yishbaiti Leveis Eli, then that Zau Din is not going to be whipped up. However, the Gemara continues, Omer Rava, or Rava, Bezevachol Mincha, Enim Eskaper. Now, the Averis that Beis Eli did cannot be atoned for, they cannot have a kapara with them, with Zevachol Mincha, as the Pasuk is saying. Avol Meskaper, who would divrei Torah, however, it can be Meskaper, but with words of Torah. If the descendants of Eli will fartipzich in Torah, then that will be Meskaper for them and mitigate the Gzardin. Abaya learns differently. The Zevachor Mincha in Meskaper, Av Meskaper b'Torah uvig Gmilas Chasadim. It's not enough Torah by itself, it needs Torah together with Gmilas Chasadim. And so the Gemara says, Kiha de Rava or de Rabba v'Abaya, Chavayu mi de Beis Eli Kaasu. Now, in fact, we find that Rava or Rabba, there are different Gesoris over here, both descended from Beis Eli. Now, Rashi actually points out that we have a Gemara in Cholin which shows clearly that Rava was not a Kohen. The Gemara tells a story over there where one time there was a Rava himself was not a Kohen, but he had a Shamash who was a Kohen, and Rava told the Shamash, and so the Shamash was getting Matonis, Zuri L'Chayayim V'Keva, and Rava said, I want to take them from you. So we see Rava himself was not a Kohen, only his Shamash was. So how would he say over here he's descended from Beis Eli, which would make him a Kohen? So Rashi says maybe his mother came from Beis Eli. On the other hand, there is a different Gersa that said, and that's why you have over here in square brackets, not Rava, but rather Rabba. And the truth is, we do know that Rabba and Abaya were uncle and nephew. Abaya was the son of Rabba's brother who passed away before Abaya was even born. So in that case, it fits better to say And that's Rabbah over here. But again, according to Rav, according to Rashi's Girsa, it is in fact Rava that we're talking about over here. However, we mean that Rava was descended from Avi on his mother's side. Anyway, so they were both descended from Beis Avi, and as the Gemara is going to quote in a couple of lines, part of the first nevuah that Elkanah came and told Eli is he told him b'chol marbis beis choyamusu anoshin. All the men of your household are going to pass away when they first reach the age of anoshim, meaning when they turn 18 or 20 years old. So they're all going to pass away young. So now, though, Rabbah, or Rava, and Abaya were both descended from Beis Avi, and on the face of it, that should have happened. But Rava or Rabbah, the Osik Torah, Rava or Rabbah was occupied with learning Torah in the S'chus of that, Chayab, Chayab, Boin Shnin, in the S'chus of that, he lived to be 40 years old. So he got himself an extra 20 years in the S'chus of the Torah. So, well, of course, so soon the Gemara is going to point out that there was a case where they were passing away at 18 years old, but primarily, Anoshim means means 20 years old more. Yeah. So therefore, so he gained himself an extra 20 years. Abaya, the Osik, the Torah of Gmilas Hasadim, Chayashitin Shnin. Abaya, who was Osik in both Torah and Gmilas Hasadim, he earned himself an extra 40 years and he lived to age 60. Now, Tosfos points out, we do have a Gemara in Sanhedrin where it says clearly that Rabbah was Oisik in Gmilas Chasadim as well. However, Tosfos says, nevertheless, Abaya was more in Gmilas Chasadim than Rabbah was. And there is, in fact, an explanation. Rabbah was a major Rosh Hashiva, and therefore he didn't have as much time for Gmilas Chasadim. But whatever the case, therefore, it comes out that Abaya outlived Rabbah by many years, or Rava, by many years because of that. Now, there are some interesting things about that. There was a fascinating explanation from Rabbi Lev Yitzchak, from the Rebbe's father, that talks about the deeper idea behind this. He has the Girsa Rava also, like the way Rashi had. And he explains that we find, in other contexts, we find there's a concept of makif ha-korev and makif, you have in Chassidus, there's makif ha-korev and makif ha-rochek. You have the level of halakus, which is makif, which is where it doesn't get embedded into us. It's only makif. It surrounds us from above. You have the level of the neshama, for example, chaya and yechida are that. You have the soiv of kolamin is like that. And then you have, within that, you can distinguish between korev and rochay. The metaphor for it in chassidus is, for example, you have a person's clothing versus his house. His clothing is makif a korev. The house is makif a rochay. So he explains over there, then I'll pick Kabbalah, that Rava is more connected with Makif HaKorov, and the Shlossman is also connected, which is Gematria 40, is more connected with Makif HaKorov. So Rava has more of a connection with Makif HaKorov, Abaya has more of a connection with Makif HaRochek, and he explains various Machorikas of Abaya and Rava that we find in Shas along those lines, and therefore the Samach has to do more with Makif HaRochek, and therefore Abaya lived to 60. He mentions in this connection, for example, is a Gemara in Brachas that tells a story that one time when Abaya and Rava were little kids, one time they were in front of Rabbah, and Rabbah asked them, who are we speaking to? And they said, Hashem. So Rabbah asked them, where is Hashem? So Rava pointed to the ceiling, and Abaya went outside and pointed to the sky, and Rava was very impressed with them. These were little kids, and they already understand what the concept of the Eidish there. And he says, both of you are going to grow up to be great Talmid Chachamim. So Rav Lev Yitzchak connects it with this. Rava is pointing to the Makif HaKorov, the house. Abaya is pointing to the sky, which is the Makif HaRochek. Yeah. With all of that said, though, we do have to mention something else, which is the Sefer Doros HaRishonim, a multi-volume set on Jewish history. He discusses this point, and he points out, first of all, if you have the Girsa Rabbah, it seems based on various pieces of information that we have, in particular from Igeres Reb Shuda Goyen, which gives the dates when the various Chachamim passed away, and also if we say it's Rava, if we say like Rashi's view said that it's Rava, either way it seems very difficult to say that either Rava or Rabbah lived to only 40 years. There were various Gemaras, he says, various Gemaras and various other pieces of evidence that seem to work against that. So he actually has a whole different explanation in the Gemara over here. He learns, first of all, he has the Girsa Rabbah, but second of all, he says that actually what the Gemara is saying is both of them lived to 60. Not that one lived to 40 and one lived to 60, but rather he argues what the Gemara means to say is actually the correct Girsa would be that both of them lived to 60. And in other words, what the Gemara is saying by that is you shouldn't think like a Abaya that you must have Torah of Gmilas Hasadim to overturn the Gzera. Even just Torah by itself, as Rabbah had, is enough to overturn the Gzera and to allow him to live an extra 40 years to age 60. So that's how he learns Pshat in the Gemara.
If Rabbah that's what we're involved with. Does that mean he was learning more Torah?
It means he was learning more Torah. Yeah, you have the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya. That's why Rava thought of himself that he was a Benini because he thought he's a Benini. Mispala kol ayim kolo. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Mishpacha achas hoisa b'Yerushalayim. There was a certain family in Yerushalayim. Shoyu meisehom meisim ben shmoyne es yeshanim. The people, the men in that family, when they passed away, were passing away at only 18 years old. So they came in. It's possible, by the way, also the word meisehom meisim is a little unusual. And if they're dying, then they're dead. You do find very rarely in Tanakh, not very rarely, whatever, you find a somewhat rare word in Tanakh, misim, with a shva under the mem, that means people, like hachlin called ir mesim. So the Gemara may be doing a little bit of a play on words of it here. The mesim, the men of that family, mesim, were passing away anyway. Ben Shmona Esther Shana at 18 years old. Bo voidius, Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, so they came and informed Rabbi Yechim and Zakai to ask him what they can do about it. Omalahem, he says to them, Shemim of Shpachas base Eli atem, is it possible that you're descended from the family of Eli? Dichtiv beiv homaris base choyamusu anoshim, of whom the Pasuk says, like we said before, that Elkanah had told him in Nevuah from Hashem that all the men of your family are going to pass away when they reach the age of manhood. And since Ben Shemona Esther Lechopa, Marsha points out in Yavamis, then therefore that's the age that they were passing away when they reached that age of marriage. So l'chuve isku v'torah. So he tells them, go occupy yourselves with Torah, v'chyu, and then you will live. Hochav osku v'torah v'choyu. Sure enough, they occupy themselves with Torah, and they lived. They lived longer than 18 years. V'choyu koyinos mishpachas from Yechanan al Shmoy, and from then on, that family took the name, the family of Rabbi Yechanan, and in gratitude for Rabbi Yechanan for saving their lives. This is also, by the way, Doris Rishonim mentions this in his argument about what the Gemara before said. He said if the Gemara had concluded that you need Toto of Mil Chassadim to live long, like Abaya said, then why is the Gemara now contradicting that with the story with Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, where he says only Bechur is about Toto and doesn't mention about Mil Chassadim, so therefore he says that could be a Raya, that would be another Raya he brings for his chat, that it means that either one by itself is enough.
Increase your Torah
learning. Increase your Torah learning,
he's
telling them, yeah.
As opposed to start learning Torah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that. Pashtus, I guess they were learning Torah before. They weren't Amei Aretz, but yeah. So the Gemara continues. How do we know that the Gzaudin of a Tzibur is never sealed, is never signed? So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Nichtam avonis lefanai. We have the pasuk that we quoted before that your averus have made a stain before me, and that means that they've made a stain. In other words, it's a permanent, irrevocable thing, like a stain on a garment. Ela minayin she'avpich nichtam miskareya. How do we know that even though it was signed, it can still be ripped up afterwards? Shenema, as the pasuk says, who is Hashem alekenu? Who is like Hashem our God? B'chol koreinu elav. Whenever we call out to Him." So that implies that whenever, even any time during the year, that we call out to Hashem, then Hashem listens and rips up the Gzeira. So the Gemara asks, what about though you have the pasuk that says, seek out Hashem when he can be found, implying that there's only a certain time when Hashem can be found, which, as the Gemara is going to say, means aseres imei tshuva. And the answer is, again, that pasuk is talking about a yachid, this pasuk is talking about a tzibur. In fact, a different Gemara in Yavamis mentions that Menashe HaMelech, the infamous Rosh HaMenashe, at least it was a Rosh at the beginning, whatever, he had Yeshaya brought in front of him on charges where he's claiming that you're contradicting things in the Torah, and this is one of them. He says, you're saying, Dir Shashem Mimatzai, and Moshe says, Kashem Alekin B'chokar Einu Elov. So the answer is, as the Gemara is saying over here, Yochid versus Tzibur, but of course Menashe wasn't doing it in order to actually get an answer, he was just using it as an excuse to have an excuse to kill Yeshaya, as the Gemara says, but he eventually did. Anyway, so it will be Yochid Aim. And in fact, Marsha points out over there, you actually see it in the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk that Moshe is saying is all in the plural. Mi Kashem Lekena B'chokorei Nu Elov. As opposed to Dirshu Hashem B'Imotze. Yeah, it's written in plural. You should seek our Hashem. But it continues in the signal. Yazav Rosha Darko V'ish Oven Machshavoyisav. So you see, it's talking about a Yochid. So then he has to wait for the time that B'Imotze. And it's that Dirshu Hashem B'Imotze is that Torah on every fast day. Over Yochid Emas, so for Yochid, what's the time? When is the Dirshu Hashem being Matzai? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bavua, Elo Aseres Yomim Shemer Hashan of Ad Yom HaKippurim. The 10 days, the Aseres Yom HaTshuva, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, those are the times when Hashem is being Matzai individually for every year. And in fact, we have one of the slichas we say on Sim Gedalia. Taka begins with those words. Es Hashem Beimotzei Karasim. So yeah. There's a couple of slichas, by the way, where the Rebbe talks about the Inyan. Why do we, on the one hand, we're saying Aseres Hayyam, Asora Yamim, but then we're saying Bein Rosh Hashanah, Shemei Rosh Hashanah Vad Yom Kippurim, implying that's only from after Rosh Hashanah until before Yom Kippur. You only have 7 days, because the expression in other places is Bein Rosh Hashanah Vad Yom Kippurim. So what is it? Is it Bein? Is it only the days between them, or is it the days including them? And the Rebbe explains in a couple of places, the vote is, on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur themselves are part of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. On the other hand, they have a Metzius of their own. Rosh Hashanah's Inyan is Kabbalah HaMalchus, Yom Kippur's Inyan is Slichah Mechila. So in a sense, you have, they stand on their own, and then the 7 days between them are an Inyan of their own. But on the other hand, you also have, the fact is that they're also included, there's also, on top of that, there's also that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are part of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So that's why you have the double expression of it here. What? You have a Shabbos in between always. Yeah, the Rebbe mentions in one of those sikhas. In fact, you have the famous verse from the Arizal that says that the Sunday of Aseres Yemei Teshuva can fix up all the Sundays of the previous year, and the Monday of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the Mondays of all the previous year. So there you have only 7 days fall into that, because that's what they're saying. You have, when you think about the specifics of each of the times of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, then you have those details, and you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur stand on their own, and the 7 days between them stand on their own. That's Bein Rosh Hashanah over Yom Kippurim, and then on the other hand, you have it in a different sense. They're all the days of Teshuva. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, Yitzayin Oder Aleph, your test Oder Aleph. So the purpose of Golos is that the Jewish people should be raised up to an even higher level than we were in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, of necessity, the Yerida, the going down in Golos is only a beginning, and it's only a part of the Aliyah that comes out of it. It's not just Yerida, it's Tzurich Aliyah, it's that the Yerida is a Chelek, is a part of the Aliyah that comes after it. Continuing with Halachos of Shabbos, You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice of it. So, for example, you wouldn't be able to squeeze lemons to make lemonade, or yesh oisrim, even to suck out the juice from a fruit with your mouth. And the Alter Rebbe, in fact, adds, "I'm not going to tolerate the broth." Certainly with the grapes, you have to be careful not to suck out the juice and throw away the grapes, because grape juice has more of a status of a mashke in halacha. It's more normally squeezed for things. If you don't need the juice that comes out of it, then you are allowed to squeeze them. So he gives an example. You would be allowed to squeeze out, let's say, vegetables, to squeeze out the water from them, because you're not actually using the water from them. He doesn't mention also, by the way, that there is also halacha. You would be allowed, for example, to squeeze a lemon onto fish on Shabbos, let's say, because there you're not using it as a liquid. You're using it as part of the food, and therefore there's no problem with that.